You start.
Hi, Merlin.
Hi, John.
Don't try to do a dumb John voice.
Okay, let's do it again. No, first of all, I just want to say to our listeners, I appreciate you giving this a try. And I'm grateful. I know this has not come to you naturally.
Wait, what am I giving a try?
Being the person who puts in some effort to be the first one who...
No, this is my plan. I came up with the plan. It's based on your other podcast. I'm just copying off of your other work.
Which one am I?
Yeah. The one who has another podcast where you start by saying hi.
One of us supposed to be a dog in this situation?
Mm-hmm. You are. You're the dog.
I do that.
Yes. It's yes. You are. You're the dog. I think that's it.
You're a good boy. Yes, you
so
are.
So close.
What?
As they say.
What? Okay. And we're back. Hi. Man, it's been a wild time since we put up the Waffle House episode. And I just, I forgive my saying, I've said this to you, I've said this to my lady friend. I had a lot of fun doing that. And it made me happy that other people liked it too.
I feel kind of bad that there's so much, as you would say, shucking and jiving before we get to the Waffle House part. But, you know, sometimes good things come to those who wait, I guess.
Ditto in the after show where there was shucking and jiving about my pig board, Marge. You know, it would have been nice if we could just cut out all the parts that weren't Waffle House. But, you know, what's in the show is in the show. That's...
No, it's always the Waffle Houses that you don't play.
Oh, I see. It's like jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Besides, I like your pig board.
Pig board.
I think about the Waffle House video more, but I am thinking about your pegboard.
Think about the Waffle House video a lot. And I'll tell you, I was away from home. I was visiting, a very, very rich person had an Airbnb that they needed cleaned. So we went and stayed there for a few days in Hawaii. And now we're back. I had a very good relationship with a very sweet cat. But whilst I was there and having so much fun, where you very kindly, this is a terrible sentence, end of sentence. Hey, John, thanks a million for being so great with posting the episode in my absence. I had a weird thing. Did I ever send you a screenshot where the Relay CMS just didn't do anything? I thought maybe I'd been blocked. Was I shadow banned? Was I sent to Coventry?
That's just what happens once you have a few thousand miles of Pacific Ocean between you. And
that's aloha. That's how you know it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, I kept laughing about, just because you do so few bits that when you do a bit and I think it's funny, it really, really kills me. That's why people say things like, you know, like an animal or whatever, right? It's funny.
My
when
secret
you do,
is I'm always doing a bit.
Huh. But when you do a voice in particular, because you're so parsimonious with your voices.
I don't have a lot of good voices. I wish I did. I try.
None of us have good voices, John. But like, it's like Gandhi said on that t-shirt that Mother Jones put out. Almost nothing you do in life is important, but it's very important that you do it. Now, I thought it was Gandhi that says that. It turns out it was a shirt from Mother Jones.
Or Mark Twain, Mother Jones, Gandhi, one of those people.
Winston Churchill. And I was going through and I was thinking, oh, I'll do a funny thing where I find like a good bit from the podcast or something. And I just sat there on my phone, of all things, just scrubbing back and forth in the video, just dropping somewhere. And like every minute in that video, I relive the feeling of the first time that he talked about putting three packets on top of each other, and it just makes me happy every time. That's all.
Mm-hmm. It's another thing you're gonna, you know, this video is gonna have ramifications for the rest of my life, I'm sure. But I'd like, if I ever, the next time I go to a restaurant that has on the table like jelly packets, like in the little thing by the napkins or whatever, or they have one of those butter things or whatever,
little condiment station,
I guarantee you that I'm gonna take like a little butter thing and try to balance like three little, you know, chocolate chips or capers or something, whatever is on my plate, I'm going to try to balance them on the top on the puffy top of the foil top covering a thing, and try to explain to people at the table that I'm marking my meal.
This is food, and like, you know, you notice Greg never jiggled the plate to give us a demo of what happens to them chips.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think they could probably really drift off. Oh, and also, I don't know if you saw this. I just real quick last night, I made a very quick GPT. That just consisted of pointing it at that video. Mm-hmm. I basically said, look, hey, you're a GPT. I want you to learn everything you can about the call drop mark system. And here's the video. And it didn't do too bad. I couldn't get it to get into Greg's style. So yeah. I tried several times to get it. I would say, like, what's one pork chop? I kept expecting it to say that's one pork chop is two pork chops. And when mm-hmm. it responds, it says, a typical order of this, one pork chop means one pork chop, but two is in a standard order.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, there wasn't that many things where I could get it because, but I was still pretty impressed that it knew that the grape jelly packet was the most used.
Yeah, but it's just one video. You need way more content to really, you know, train it up.
Right. Well, I guess that gets us to some. So thank you to John, and thank you to our listeners, and thank you to Greg for a very fine episode. I believe we do have some. Do we start with Waffle House adjacent follow up?
Yep. So this was part of the Waffle House segment. I was trying to describe a portion of one of the philosophies I saw buried in the stew, chili, gumbo, whatever it is, the goulash that is the Waffle House magic marker system. And I said, you know, that looks a lot like A, and I described a computer science term, and I know I corrected this in the after show, but not everyone is a member, believe it or not. So I wanted to correct it on the main show. Actually, first of all, I want to say that I'm disappointed in everyone who's listening who didn't correct me on this.
And then I would like to say, everyone, welcome to the club. You have been disappointing John without knowing it. So now you know what it feels like to be me.
Well, aren't you a little bit disappointed by proxy to think that not a single correction was sent in for this egregious mistake?
There's a thing I heard in college. They said there's only two doses of drugs, too much drugs and not enough drugs.
Right.
There's never a perfect amount. And that's exactly how it is for engagement. There's exactly two levels of engagement. The one that most of us live with is it's so embarrassing how few people listen or pay attention to what I do. And the other one is I hate how many stupid people pay attention too much to what I do. There's no happy level in between. But yeah, I'm disappointed in our listeners. They should have known that's not. If they wanted Hamming code, you put down two bacons.
Yeah. If I had made this mistake in ATP, 1,000 people would have emailed me.
Right? What's a more popular show, John? Thanks.
But I guess it's more computer science majors. But it's like, okay, well, so this is a different show. I get that. But you think there's some crossover audience, right? I know there is, because sometimes ATP people write in and they make jokes about Rectif. So I know there is overlap in the audience. It just amazes me. Maybe it's just actually maybe
you
they don't
said Hamming code on the main episode.
Which would have been great if that was true, right? Because the ham means, you know, like the whole. Been great if it was Hamming code. You can see how my brain spit that out. My aging, decrepit brain.
Oh, I see it. I see it when I listen back to podcast episodes, and I can tell that for whatever reason, I chose a somewhat unusual word to use in the early part of the show, and I'll use it two more times in the episode.
Oh, no, you do that across podcasts, across weeks. I should be really, if I had a dream journal, that's part of what I would be tracking is the word that gets into your head and that I hear for like 3 weeks of shows that you're
not 3 weeks. That's not that many.
No, it goes, it reverberates, it echoes through time.
Well, that's how echoes work.
Merlin snapped together like magnets. You don't know. It's
capacious,
it's totally
maybe a word like maybe capacious. You've never seen Equus. Don't pretend.
I don't. I'm just imitating you. It's fine.
You know who says that is Richard Burton.
No, but you totally do it. In fact, a couple of times I said, you know, this is so egregious, I needed to point this out to Merlin. But I said, you know what? I don't need to point it out. So I'm glad you've noticed it yourself. But anyway.
Thank you, man. I'm glad I could help you sleep.
At
one point, he looks at the camera. Richard Burton looks at the camera because he addresses the camera a lot through this. He's a very, very troubled psychiatrist. He's the boy who's obsessed with horses and has been blinding horses. He has a sex thing with horses. His name's Alan. Mm-hmm. Alan Strang. And so Richard Burton, I probably will get this slightly wrong. So if you ever see the movie, you can correct me. He says the only thing I know for sure is this. A horse's head is ultimately unknowable to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear it again. You want to hear it again?
I thought that was like Werner Herzog.
Oh, no, it takes me a while to get into Werner Herzog.
No, I thought that's who said that line.
Oh, a moment snapped together like magnets. That's also Richard Burton in Equus. No, Werner Herzog, he says a lot of things about the human condition. He has a really good line about a fake boat in Ritz Fitzcarraldo.
Mm-hmm.
Hamming code. John's disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. So I said Hamming code. What I meant was Huffman coding. Huffman coding is the thing where if you have a bunch of items, you find the most frequent one and you represent it with the smallest number of bits. So that way, every time you have to represent that in the new compressed version, you use a small number of bits because you know you're going to be representing it a lot.
Is there like a table, a lookup thing for that? How does it know?
Yeah. It's basically just like a lookup. You have a little lookup table that says, well, when you see this word, it's this 2 bits. When you see this word, it's this 3 bits.
And even with that, it's still more efficient than making AETRNL like way too big in size.
Yeah, exactly. And Hamming code is an entirely different thing. We'll put links in the show notes to both of these in the Wikipedia page. Huffman, Hamming, they both start with H. Huh. We're talking about ham. You see how I could have made the mistake? I did.
Ed Bacon. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Other famous examples of that, John? Why did it come to mind for you? Is it something it sounds like perhaps it's something you have not utilized specifically, but it's something that's like people used to do a lot, maybe in more like memory scarce days.
Well, I can tell you this. It's a thing I both learned in school and was made to implement in school as part of my education.
That's
so
cool.
That's why it sticks.
That's smart. Now, was that a CS class?
Yeah.
Really? It wasn't a strict engineering style class.
No, it was a computer science class. Okay. This is a computer science contest. Computer science class. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to learn it. I was tested on it. I had to implement it. And, you know, among many other things. I don't think it ever came up in my actual work life, but knowing the concept made me recognize it in other things. And here I am recognizing it in the Waffle House magic marker system, but then naming it incorrectly.
Ain't that ironical?
It's been a long time since I was in college.
Yep, that's true. That's true. And what was your best book in college? Was the one you told me about that has like forest creatures on the front? What was your favorite?
My favorite textbook?
Your favorite textbook from college?
Probably Modern Operating Systems or Computer Networks, both by Andrew S. Tenenbaum.
That's the one you were sending me. And yep. It's got like hobbits on the front or something, right?
It's got like cartoons on the front. Yep. Those books are the only two college books I think that I read cover to cover within like the first 2 weeks of the class.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even, in some classes, we didn't even use the whole textbook, but I still read the whole thing. I thought they were really engaging and taught me a lot of stuff that I wanted to know. And they were fun.
Hey, were you aware of it at the time?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Isn't that incredible? That's an amazing feeling to go like, oh, this is different from the others. See, because I'm broken inside, John, and I don't retain information. For me, that's media. For me, that's Shogun. I put on Shogun. Shogun to me is practically like The Wire at this point. And yeah, it's an apt comparison for exactly the reason you're rolling your eyes, which is just like The Wire made everybody go, oh my God, I can't watch normal TV anymore. It's too lame. I watch Shogun and I pay so much attention to Shogun. And then I go to watch something else and it's all just like circus music in my head. You know what I mean? It's like when you come across, and what I'm saying is then that's why I was so excited about that Roy Anderson guy. Like when you really get at something gets at you, like the way, oh my God, I started Ripley, the Netflix series on the plane on the way back.
Yeah, people keep talking about that. Can you tell me what that, I tried to Google for it, but as you imagine.
Unfortunately, this will require me to say something deeply shameful.
Don't spoil it, but it's not.
No, but it's a TTIMTRL. Okay. Whatever. What do we call it?
Things that took me too long to realize.
Titmarl.
Oh, yeah. No, I did find it. It's the black and white, right? Ripley.
Yeah. And so it's not a remake, but what is it from? What is it? What's another thing you think of with that name?
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Excellent choice, I wish. Oh, my goodness.
That's The Talented Mr. Ripley?
Yes. It's that story. It's from that book. This is, okay. He's the Matt Damon character.
Gotcha.
And I was watching it and like, it's, I don't know, it's cinematography porn to me. It's obviously shot on digital, super crisp, high popping everything. And it just, every shot is just, it's
cherry popping Danny's top to bottom.
Cherry popping Danny's. Yep. It's like, again, I'm going to say Anderson because I don't want to say the shot. It's so embarrassing. But like these ones where you get these weird static shots of like, but at strange angles. Like, oh man, I love stuff like that. Love stuff like that. Be caught up on Shogun.
I believe I am. when that show is over, we will probably discuss it on the program, but not until.
I feel like, I've already told you that like I've spent a lot of time with this show. You know, I'm not a look it up on the internet guy. Like my wife already knows more about anything she watches before she watches it. Mm-hmm, I'm like, I don't want to know.
She's not watching. She's too busy on her phone looking stuff up all the time.
She's always looking at, like, I wonder if you could switch phones with my wife and my kid and they'd even know. I get it. It's the algorithm. But I think about that show a lot, maybe not as much as the Waffle House video, but like, and I think I'm not alone to say that. If you want to do the bit, make fun of me. I pay so much attention to that show when I'm watching it, and I still find it so difficult to follow. So, like, okay, the guy, the boil people alive guy, you're what's his name?
Yabushima.
Thank you. Like, have you always been pretty clear about exactly what he's really up to? Because I almost never really understand what he's really up to.
I think it's pretty clear.
Okay. So you think he's loyal or you think he's not?
Well, I mean, so here's the thing.
In the situation, it's clear.
Even if there were no subtitles on this show and you did not understand any of the languages being spoken, don't you feel like you have an idea of what kind of guy that guy is?
Yeah, I think the way he's played, the way he's portrayed is a little greasy. At least. I mean, the part that's troubling to me is the like, where he's almost like a, forgive my falling into a stereotype here, but he's a little bit almost like a Hidden Fortress style Kurosawa clown. At certain times, almost, where he's always going, huh? You ever notice how many times he goes, huh?
Yeah, except there's no, it's not an act.
So you think he's just real, he's a basic guy who's maybe not very bright and is not above some extreme.
I think he's bright. I think he is. So here's my take. I'm trying not to spoil the show.
No, me too. Right now.
But he is kind of like, he's a great audience proxy because he's like, if a modern person was dropped into this time period, but didn't know that they were a modern person, but had modern sensibilities, he's like, this is all BS. And whatever, I'm going to do what it takes
he's the one who used the word demo and the word invite.
Yeah. I'm going to do what it takes.
Demo and invite in this show.
To try to have a good time.
Try
not to get myself killed.
Don't put your tit in, what are these to say? Don't put your tit in the ringer. Like, don't get your stuff involved in stuff it doesn't need to be involved with. I think it's something everybody knows.
He has some ambition. He wants power and he wants to be in charge, but not that much. And in general, he's just like, he's put upon by the idiocy that's surrounding him. And he's trying not to die.
He's always rewriting his will, which at first I thought was a very solemn. Because
he thinks at any point he could die, but he's all the other people in the show are so bound by duty and responsibility and honor, and he doesn't have any of that. And zero of that. He's not just... He has that, and that's his deal. And so if at any point you're wondering, there is no underlying strong through line because he doesn't have any convictions about anything other than basically trying not to die, trying to have a good time while he's doing it.
Yeah. There's so much, a phrase I don't love using just came straight to mind. And it's a very sophomoric way to put it, but peer pressure. And the reason I think it's not as sophomoric as it first sounds is the thing that makes peer pressure work is you don't need any particular kind of outside intervention to make teens in particular sort of police themselves, for better or for worse. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about it.
The monkeys in the hose, remember? From way back.
Is that a square dance move?
No, it was from an early episode of the show where we talked about that possibly apocryphal experiment with the monkeys. Every time they go for the bananas, they get the hose, and then other monkeys will stop the monkeys.
You said monkeys and the hose. I thought you said monkey in the hose, which sounds like a kung fu move.
No, it's a different thing. Remember? And then the other monkeys will stop the new monkeys from going after the bananas, and eventually there's no monkeys in there who have ever been hit with the hose, but they'll all stop each other from going for the bananas.
I get it. Yeah. Well, I guess part of what I'm saying is that, even if you hate peer pressure, which I don't think anybody would say they like feeling like they're out of control and pressured externally, but that's what makes peer pressure. Peer pressure is that each peer is their own sort of load-bearing wall. And in this system, it becomes clearer and clearer. Like, there's so much set up in the early episodes. And by the way, let me just say, I guess you watch Shogun. John's going to tell you no way in a million years should you watch the dub, but for reasons that you'll find out, the dub is incredible. The way they got the dub is good, and the dub is very well done. And it makes it's one less thing to find difficult to understand. That's my opinion. That's my thing on this. They set so much up about honor. And through Marco, it's so clear. Has there been a better character on TV in a while? I mean, she's such a good character. So interesting. She still surprises you. But she's set up for us this world where, what'd you say? The army way. There's the right way, the wrong way, and the army way.
Mm-hmm.
Or as my history teacher used to say, it's my way or the highway. Well, ditto here. There's the system that everybody follows, or you might just have to kill yourself. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? Because of the way seppuku works, and I don't think seppuku equals harakiri, but the whole, this culture of honor, duty, loyalty, efficiency, obeisance, you know what I mean? She's such a good... I can't think of a single word that's not offensive. She's such a good German. By the time you're getting into this sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth episode, you really feel this, the weight of Toranaga. Toranaga is everybody, every decision you make, whether you're a good or a bad lord of the house, you realize that everybody under you will suffer in probably sometimes very grave ways based on almost any decision you make. Do you know what I mean? It's adulthood in difficult mode title, because you make decisions that, so you're going to, Ishido obviously, or it could be theirs mother, but you're going to piss off the wrong person. There's going to be some perceived slight. And then that perceived slight leads to, in the case of the sort of instigating episode where the guy dishonors in front of Ishido in the first episode. They have these, I'm not putting this well, but they have these chain of effects that happen, and pretty soon everybody's beheaded. Would you be my second? Would you think you'd be my second? You know, it's dishonorable for me in my faith.
Yeah.
So the little ones for harakiri and the big ones for your typical day-to-day Bushido, right? Little ones like a dagger. Yeah.
They don't overexplain that stuff in the show, but I'm sure your wife looked it up.
Well, they don't overexplain anything, do they?
No.
I like it a lot, and I think I probably will. Boy, I like that Mariko a lot. I like them all. Now, what happened? What happened to the other girl that I like? The consort to the Hatamoto. Where's she? Where's she?
The tea house lady.
The super
the working
cream
girl at the tea house. Right.
I understand. No, never mind. It doesn't matter. Fuji, the woman.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I'm not sure.
I really like that actress too. She was terrific.
Yeah.
John, will you get my back just a little bit? It is not primarily. I have a lot of trouble remembering who's who. Do you run into this at all? Especially in the middle episodes. Mariko. There's the woman who's like Mariko with the flat voice.
We're not supposed to talk about the show now, but what I will say is...
Never mind. We'll save it.
I'll just say this. Having watched many of these episodes three times, because I watched them myself, and then I showed them to my wife, and then I showed them to my son.
So we need a name for that. I totally did the same. Yep.
Ambassador to the... And in effect, I watched those things three times. I did notice that they try very hard to... As you know, Bob, have characters say out loud their relation.
Yeah, you remember we were close when we were children? I'm that
one. Yeah, exactly.
Remember the flashback? That's me.
Wife, come to me now. You are my wife, and I would like to talk to you.
I don't understand who's the daddy of anybody. Right, I'm so confused about who the fathers of these children are.
But they do that so many times to try to help you, and yet our minds rebel at many things that do not appear as we would expect them to appear in our culture. And so we say, no, that can't be person X related to person Y in this way, because look at them. But in fact, it is that way.
The boy that looks like a girl, whom we refer to as the heir. Mm-hmm. Heir is like technically...
He doesn't look like a girl. What are you talking about?
Oh, he looks like a girl. He can't become the head fella till he's 16. Right. Yeah. And so Torunaga's would have been... Okay, so there's a whole thing, the whole instigate... We're not going to talk about this show. So the kid... Mm-hmm. What, his mother is the one who talks like this, right? The one who looks like a Mariko a little bit.
Oh, Michiba, yeah, friends with, yeah.
Right. Oh, Chiba. And she's a troublemaker. Like, they used to be friends. She is the mother of the heir. Is that correct?
Yes.
From whose seed was the heir created?
The Tycho. What's his name? Tycho. Tycho.
The guy who died.
Yep. Or at least as far as we know at this point in the show.
So she was like, okay. And then, so... But like Mariko has always been the bride of the nasty guy because of her dishonor, because of her father. And she's had the kid 14.
I don't want to do cause and effect, but yes, she was married off to that dude.
I have a feeling there's two things that I'll be talking about. For some time in my life, I will be talking more about Shogun. I know that for the rest of my life, I will be talking about the Mark system. Mm-hmm. So I made a GPT. John, notes. Can we remember? I can put a link to some of my GPT stuff. I can open it up maybe if people want to use it, but whatever. But it doesn't matter. It's just funny. You know, nobody reads. But we also have, what else do we have? Oh, I have some paintings. So did you see the hand pointing at the jelly pack in the Bible?
I saw your paintings.
And then what was my other thing I did? I did some stuff in Descript. I made a supercut of jelly packs. This episode of Reconcilable Differences is brought to you by Squarespace. You can learn more about Squarespace right now by visiting squarespace.com/diffs. Friends, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for building your brand and for growing your business online. You can stand out with a beautiful website, you can engage with your audience, and you can sell anything, whether that's your products, services, or even the stuff that you make. Squarespace has got everything you need, and it's all in one place. You can make the most of this thing called Fluid Engine. Squarespace's next generation website design system. It'll unlock your creativity more easily than ever. You can start with the best in class website template and then customize every design detail with reimagined drag and drop technology for desktop or mobile. You can stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine. It's built in and ready to go on any new Squarespace site. Can't miss this one. You can sell your products on an online store. So whether that's physical or digital goods, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Now, a great thing for that. Okay, so how are people going to pay for it? You ask yourself. At least I would. I mean, you know, to make money, people have to give it to you. You know, so you got flexible payment options. So check this out. You can make checkout seamless for your customers for that store that's yours now. with simple but powerful payment tools. So you can accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and you can offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with things like Afterpay and ClearPay. I'm a huge fan of Squarespace. I've been with them for years. It's where we host the Roderick on the Line podcast. And, you know, ever thus to Roderick on the Line, a big fan. And so I really, I can actually recommend them. They do pay us. I should probably say that. This is a paid advertisement, as John says. Or advert, as they say, in across the pond, isn't it? But I do recommend it. So what I suggest is you please go to squarespace.com/diffs. That's D-A-F-F-S. It's going to get you a free trial. Then when you're ready to launch, you go to squarespace.com/diffs. Use the offer code diffs, okay? And that's going to save you 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Once again, say it thrice, and it's almost like praying. Squarespace.com/diffs, offer code diffs, and 10% off your purchase, and it supports John Craig Siracusa. Our thanks to Squarespace for supporting Reconcilable Differences and all of Relay FM. Next up.
So we have some follow-up from Tim Morgan about the magic marker system. He says, a few observations on the magic marker system. He says, one, I saw
this one. Yeah, right.
I saw no evidence that the mark system was being used at all in this particular Franklin, Tennessee location. And at one point, the cook came over to obtain a written order from the server. And point two, I didn't get my hash browns smothered or covered like I ordered, just scattered. And he says, I see a correlation between one and two. Make of this what you will. So he thinks that he did not see the marker system in practice in Franklin, Tennessee, in a particular Waffle House, and they got his order wrong.
The hash browns is a drop.
Yes.
But maybe they're not doing the drop system correctly either. Did you get a sense in general? Like, you've seen enough. Like, have you seen enough to know, like, based on your own kind of sniff test, based on what you've read, and you've probably secretly read a lot and aren't going to admit it, but based on what you've come in contact with, we debated early on, does the system work? It must work because they use it. Did you find evidence that seems plausible to you that this is a system that works, or perhaps even a system that works really well? Like, you suspected, for example, that, remember, I think you said in particular, like, once you would get good, you can imagine or guess or assure that once you get good at this, it's got to be faster than reading, right? Like, did you find evidence to support that?
Yeah, well, so here's the next item from Bill Stillwell. It says, you can maybe see some of the system at work in this Sean Brock and Anthony Bourdain's visit to the Waffle House video. And so I watched the video. It was like a CNN Anthony Bourdain video. And all I'm doing the whole video is I'm just looking at the, when they cut to the kitchen for a few seconds. And sure enough, I'll put a link in the show notes to the video. You can watch. Sure enough, you can see them using a packet. Yeah. And see, the thing is, if I had not seen that video, I would not have noticed anything about when they show the kitchen. But now that I've seen that video. You look at the plates and they mean something to you. It's like the rats of Nim. They looked at the words and could understand them, right? That's a deep cut reference.
Did the rats of Nim understand it in a different way than we would?
No, they just learned how to read.
They looked at the words and what was the phrase?
And could understand them.
They looked at the words and could understand them. These are the rats of Nim.
Did you not see? You not know the secret of Nim? Is this like after your generation?
I mean, it's read another book. Look, it's right in the title. It's a secret.
You've never seen the secret of Nim.
I've also seen a movie about Arrietty, but there's a lot of things I don't know in life, John.
Do you think you saw the secret of Nim but forgot about it?
I think I have one more. Oh shoot! It was Treasure of Sierra Madre. I almost had one more. No, I see that. That's one of those funny ones where that missed me just a little bit. Right.
So you believe as far as you can tell, you never saw it, or you can't remember seeing it.
Secret of Nim?
Yeah.
I think it's an animated movie about a mouse.
Right, but answer my question. Do you think you saw it?
John, I can pretty much assure you I have absolutely not seen it. What year did it come out?
That is going on your homework list, sir.
Well, let me just swipe off the other things I'll never watch.
No, I just, like, you know, it's there. It's on the list.
My kid watched a movie where David Bowie plays someone called Jareth.
Yeah.
Jareth. Now, that's the Dark Crystal, right? What's the one with Jennifer Connelly?
It is Labyrinth.
The Rocketeer. Yeah. David Bowie is in The Rocketeer.
Secret of Nim has got to be like, what, 70 minutes long?
Is that Matthew Modine in The Rocketeer? Was that Matthew Modine?
Maybe.
He's terrific. That's Jiminy Glick has two strapping boys, Matthew and Modine. No, I've never seen Secret of Nim. And I think, what was the thing that got you a little bit mad? I didn't mean to get you mad, but there was that Jim Henson movie I didn't like. Dark Crystal. I didn't care for that. But my kid watched it, and then I watched it.
Labyrinth is a better movie than Dark Crystal by far.
You know, it's a funny thing. I don't know. I don't want to like blow up anybody's spot, but I'm just going to throw this sort of lightly over the fence to you and see if this has resonance, is that I know my kid has weird things that he's into. Like, just like kind of a weird quirky thing, and I'm not sure, but like, my kid has one friend, and these are all people the same age as my kid, who's really into Adam Ant and Adam and the Ants.
And go figure.
The real heads will know that Sand Deliver was my favorite song for 2 years when I was a kid. Like, there's that. Another friend, like, sometimes people just, it's almost like oh, one person's like obsessed with this thing that's like gritty, or like that's all what they draw as their bit. It's what they talk about.
The Philadelphia hockey.
Yes, but don't you have, aren't there kids in your kid's life who like just have a weird thing? One guy's really into turtles and says things like, "Oh my days, it's a wonderful crew," and everybody's got a quirk.
Yeah, sometimes they're secret. Sometimes there are secret quirks, at least they're secret to me because I'm just the dad.
Secret quirks that take you too long to realize. And sometimes it's one like, yeah, this is my friend who's very, very into The Labyrinth. So I'm going over this tonight and we're going to watch The Labyrinth. Or like, one of his very best, I'm so sorry, Billy. One of his best friends who's like one of the smartest kids I have ever met in my life. She's incredible. She's into this Netflix was as a kid really into this Netflix show. These are 16-year-old kids, a Netflix show about horses called Free Rain. Got it? Free Rain.
How is rain spelled?
The usual way, R-E-I-N.
There's like seven ways to spell rain, so.
Oh, well, you mean the one, the R-E-I-G.
Right, or R-E-I-N. Oh, you mean
like it's like Milton says, about to rain in hell?
Yeah.
A lot of people misquote that because they think he's... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Free rain.
Is that Milton? He says, I don't want to live in heaven. I'd rather rain in hell.
There you go.
No, that's R-E-I-G-N?
Yeah.
R-E-I-G-H-N?
No, you just can't.
Do you know what the longest... Do you know what the longest one-syllable word in the English language is? That is according to Ripley. Okay. That is the longest one. It goes like, actually, John was really close. It's this. you know what? It's strengths. Let's write it out. S.
Oh, the longest as a number of characters. Yeah.
N G T H. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have put that differently. It's got to be a one syllable. Most letters in a one syllable word would have been less ambiguous.
All right. Well, the odd one works if you just hold down the H key. If you just hold down the H key real long, you can just beat strengths.
You got rain as in precipitation. You got rain as in your horse friend. I'm sorry. I'm off mic a little bit. Hello. Then you've got rain as in, I think, Milton.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to blow the whole place up if you can't listen to the radio at a reasonable volume. Talk about Paradise Lost, am I right? Let's get this back on the rails. Strengths. Were you ever any good at Hangman?
No, boring game.
I wasn't either. I feel like there was a very funny bit on, if you guys can't figure it out, I really like this TV show called Taskmaster. And there's one where somebody challenged somebody else they had to create the most tense movie scene, and it involves these two really smart guys playing Hangman. And I could not guess either word. I mean, Hangman is in some ways very similar, somewhat to Wheel of Fortune, right?
Mm-hmm.
You pick letters,
only
you put them in.
With a metaphorical death.
Yes.
It's like Hangman. Yes. Hangman. Yeah.
And so like in Wheel of Fortune, you have to, at least back in my day, you used to have to say, buy a vowel.
Mm-hmm.
And in this challenge, the part that made it tense is the one guy says to the other guy, right before they start, he goes, and no vowels.
Yeah.
You can only, but I'm still, what do you do? R-T-L-N-S.
So is this Free Rain show? Is this a horse girl show?
I think it's a horse girl show, which is different than Alan Strang. He's got a different kind of obsession with horses. Or does he? This is a play that was written by Peter Schaefer, best known to us as the guy who wrote the play Amadeus that then became Milos Forman's movie Amadeus. But he also did something, a very interesting production, a play he created called Equus. Spankus begat Flancus. Equus, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Free rain. Are you getting this?
I'm getting it.
It's three kinds of rain in one. And the rain, I think, is what you hold. It falls mainly on the plain.
Rains. I think it's one of those plurals like scissors or pants. Rains.
Interesting. How do you say the thing with the snippy things that you use to cut paper? What do you call those? You call it scissors? No article, right? You don't call
Get me the scissors.
That's something your people would do. They would call it a scissors.
No.
Hand me this. Well, you see, now hand me the scissors. That's fine.
Yeah.
Hand me the scissors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Huh. All right.
The pants, the trousers, the scissors.
You know about pants and trousers? Do you know about that?
Yeah.
They say that over there, and this comes up a lot on Taskmaster. You know, trousers are different. You know, trousers are different from pants.
Sure.
What's next?
I just sent someone a screenshot today. I was watching a television program, and this was
it Love Island, John?
No, it was not. It was, but it has a British connection. It was a show set in Wyoming. The character on the show was born and raised in Wyoming, played by an actor that was born in California. And I looked up all these things to try to explain what I saw before me, and this character, this actor says, is telling a story and talking about a cave. And he says, telling the story of someone who went into that cave and took out their torch. And I said, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Took out their, and then the next line was like, and shined the light on the whatever. And it's like, okay, so it's clear they didn't mean a literal stick that's on fire.
I can't believe that English expats should be given a copy of Final Draft that looks for things like torch and definitely looks for things like meant to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but torch is so egregious because it's like, here's the thing.
Well, do you remember S2E1 of Succession? Jeremy Strong is at the spa.
Yeah, he says meant to. Yeah.
Do you remember he says, I'm meant to have a mud treatment? And nobody from New York would ever say that, use meant to in that way. Jesse Armstrong would.
Unless they mean that they were born to do that. Fated by, you know, as a prophecy. Right. That's like what they would mean if an American person says, I meant to have a mud
tramps treatment. Like we, you know, baby, we were born to.
And so that's why I looked up the actors.
We're meant to run is what I'm saying.
Some British writer writes this and forgets. Okay, fine, whatever. But then the actor, how is the actor going to say, like, maybe the actor is from the UK as well? And so that's why it went unnoticed. But no, the actor was born in California. How are you going to be born in California playing a character born and raised in Wyoming?
It's the screenplay. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's ridiculous. Like,
what kind of actor is saying that line and saying, wait, so he went into the cave with a torch?
Wait, remind me again. Did you say Montana?
Wyoming.
But we're talking like Seth Bullock type business, right?
Yeah. Like modern day Wyoming.
Like today,
they're not saying torch. Yeah. They're saying flashlight.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, it kind of takes me out of it a little bit, I got to be honest.
Yeah, I was about to say I screenshotted it, but you know I didn't screenshot it. Why didn't I screenshot it, Marlon?
Because it's on a platform that won't let you do screenshots.
Yeah, you get a big black screen. Thank you for that.
I have MKVs of so many episodes of TV shows that I'm watching on my TV. How does Marlon get such good screenshots? Yeah. Well, I download an MKV of it. I do the screenshot. I sometimes manually add, if I'm not happy with the subtitles, maybe because I got it off of YouTube.
Write your own in,
I make my own in SF display, medium, and do that in Affinity Designer 2. And I really, because, you know, I just couldn't bear the idea of trying to route around their desire to have their content not shared.
You know what I did instead of doing that for this for the torch line?
What?
Tell me, what did I do?
To make a joke about it?
Yeah.
Was it a text joke?
To complain about it. I can't screenshot it, as you noted, so what did I do instead?
I don't know.
Took a picture of my iPad screen with my phone, like an animal. Seriously.
No, but like a Neolithic animal. Like a dog today would understand a camera. No, this is like cave people when we're taking,
Kids. My kids do this. Something my kids would do. They were like, oh, my friend got a great picture. Oh, can I see it? And what they do is they show me a picture they took of their friend's phone screen.
Completely insane. My last doctor's appointment, I sat there while my doctor held my phone. This is a specialist in a very, very nice office at UCSF. And the easiest way to get the medical records that she needs, which of course she has access to, easiest way was, and I have Apple Health. So I handed her my phone and I watched her manually key in entries on her computer for 5 minutes.
That's still better than taking a picture of your phone screen.
Oh, it happened. It happened in the ER. ED. Pick a lane. But okay. So what were we talking about? Kids are weird.
Yeah, but anyway, our kids do it. It's like, oh, the young generation, they know technology. No, not only do they not know technology, they refuse to use it. My daughter knows about AirDrop, but she refuses to use it out of spite.
Oh, John, put it on the list. put this, whatever this is called, put it on the list. My kid is so mad. What's that?
Spitefully refusing to use AirDrop. That's what passes for rebellion in this household.
How about this? You're telling me. No, I'm like, look. Oh, I was like, oh God, you should see the original trailer for this. Trailers used to be so weird. And I, you know, it's me, right? I pick up the dingus and I say, Harold and Maude trailer on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Or find Harold and Maude. That right there, there's some variables that would change in that, but except the YouTube part stays the same. Finding a thing on YouTube, like sometimes I'll just go find Tiny Moves by Bleachers on YouTube or whatever, right? Or I'll say find Taskmaster, because like Taskmaster has every season up. I just need to get to their top page. The Apple TV app's not that bad. That has saved me so much aggravation. And John, I know we can't get into it tonight, but coming back from the Airbnb that I was at, what I was dealing with at this place was, it really walked right up to the edge of Kafka-esque, to where eventually I found out that nothing was attached. There is, despite every plug being used, the only way the TV was getting a signal was from Wi-Fi and the built-in mm-hmm. apps, despite like seven boxes underneath it.
Right.
What was I saying? Children, technology. My kid will not use Siri. It refuses.
Because you've used it too much. That's why.
No, it's so grudging. It's so, I see, dip. I'm like, kid, first of all.
Do you have the UI sounds on your Apple TV?
Medium volume.
No, you turn that off.
Got to have them on. Got to hear it.
You don't have to hear it, because now you're going to hear it.
Which icon selected, John? How much did I move just now? How did I move?
I understand, but that's why you turn on the accessibility thing that puts white outlines.
I didn't know where I was, so I hit the thing. I don't see where I am now. I have to move the icon, move the thing three times to see.
You don't have the accessibility outlines on?
You know what? John, don't embarrass me. Of course
I
have.
Okay, well, you're saying you don't
have the accessibility outlines turned on.
Then why you don't need the sound?
My phone looks like, when I open like almost anybody's app, my app looks like a putt-putt golf course. I can see every touch zone in every app. I have everything turned on. It's all big. It's all bold. My point being, here's a good tip. That's not funny. Put your favorite app in the top left. Why? Because if you hit TV up to get out of the app, and then you hit your menu up button, whatever that's called, it'll take you to the top leftmost icon. So for me, that's Plex. But if you use YouTube the most, you could put that there. Now you've got a way. It's almost like a shortcut. Wouldn't that be neat if they had something like that? Like, you know, like on a real remote, like you used to have in like, say, 2001. Yeah. But my kid will go dip, 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 dip. Select YouTube. Dip, 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 dip. All right. My kid hates looking at YouTube. My kid, I think, associates YouTube with a 1977 Eagles concert and a lot of videos involving Steely Dan. Or the kid gets up in the morning to watch X-Men, turns on the TV, and I'm like 58 minutes into a not very well-made documentary about Albert Speer. Or a very specific aspect about how they ran things at Sobibor. That's what's on screen. So my kid, I don't know. You know, maybe I have trauma. It's all different. The kid mm-hmm. will not. The kid is typing letters, John. Typing letters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it get any worse than that? We're already so screwed with this. God, I loved you guys talking about the settings app on Mac, and like, oh my God, wasn't this a problem like 4 years ago? How about the settings app on your? The settings app on your Apple TV. It's like, you know, Synology, guys, I understand. You don't want to make an app. But is there any way you could do something using Node and HTML IDs? Is there a way that I could have a link that takes me to a certain area of functionality on my Synology? Do you know what I'm saying? You get me on this, right?
Deep links is what they call that.
It's completely crazy to me that this whole thing, which you get used to kind of eventually, it's weird and gross, but you learn it. It's weird. It feels like using a PC in the mid-90s to me. I don't know. But you can't... the thing is, at first you go, like, that's weird. It kind of, it's all expressed as a web app. And you're like, yeah, it is. Here's the thing. That's all there is. I mean, there's an API. My feeling is that web app is just something somebody threw together on top of the API. Pretty much. But in which case, it's especially like, why is there not an area even just to take me to... Like with Launch Bar, I can hit ka-doop, S-E-T, and that opens settings for me. If I want to go and see if there's a new beta, I can't even begin to count how many clicks that is for me. Anyway, I don't know if I'm making the point, but like, This is something I said here, something I said on Dubai Friday, something I've been saying a lot lately is say what you will about LLMs, but there are certain aspects of the way that LLMs work to provide certain kinds of information that have made me feel, that made my feeling about most voice assistants get a lot more negative. The number of times that I, the kind of thing I know I can do in ChatGPT in a second, you know, or things that I could do, even for that matter, things that I could do on my Amazon show. If I say, hey, Dingus, play CNN on Hulu, right? I can do that, right? On an Amazon show. It's, that is a form of deep linking. If I try that on Apple TV, it'll open whatever your default TV viewing app is usually. Or sometimes it just opens Fubo because maybe I thought it was Fubo. But that I think that whether it's Synology, whether it's iOS settings, whether it's Mac settings, any of that stuff, like when you hide the deep link ability or construct it in a way that there's nothing but deep links, that's what settings is. You ever try and find something with a fairly common name in settings? It's actually really bad. Like network, search for something like, I'm trying to think of a good, there was one recently I had to look up, might've been Time or something, or it's, but don't you think, I mean, isn't it time to fix these things?
Yeah, like I remember when they first rolled out search in what was then called system preferences, there, people were like, wow, and look, Apple even put in synonyms like wallpaper, even though it's not called wallpaper.
And that's the one
wallpaper.
Where it just windows down the icons you see, right?
Yeah, well, back
but
in the
But it was
day,
great,
it was
but like, it really, right. It was what you wanted.
Right.
It,
but then,
it would
like,
light up. It would light up initially, wasn't it? Or
people were impressed
ones?
By the fact that you could type wallpaper because Apple doesn't call it wallpaper. Apple calls it desktop pictures or desktop background.
Yes,
or whatever,
yes,
but
yes.
Windows people call it wallpaper. So in whatever like sort of index that they had, they said, we're just going to put a bunch of synonyms because we know people are going to search for wallpaper.
It's a form of Hamming code.
To show the thing, right?
Yep.
Fast forward to today, where the literal text that is next to the checkbox in system settings is not searchable. They didn't even include that text in the search index, let alone synonyms or rephrases or typos or anything nice.
Right,
and so
right.
If there's some setting, you're like, I know, I thought the setting was called whatever, and you search for whatever, and like, I guess I didn't remember. But guess what? You eventually find the setting manually, and you're like, that's literally what I was typing. It's
almost like, you know, if you look something up in a database that you were familiar with, that you've used enough, you know very much like, oh, if I search in this field, that's cool because it'll like also search in all these other fields. But if I know exactly who the author is, I might want to start there. I know the spelling. You know what? You know how I get so specific, or I know this book is in PN, Library of Congress or whatever. You get used to that kind of specificity with using a computer. And when you search for what you just described very well, when you go to settings and look, I just typed in the letters N-E-T and probably 30 results at least match N-E-T. So as against, here, I can find you anything, any book in the world because I know how to use this machine. This is more like there's one kid who's kind of new here, and he goes and it says, I think we have some stuff about books over there. You know what I mean? Like now I'm going to have to go through what you're not seeing here and that John is seeing is that if I want to find out what I'm looking for, sometimes what you are looking for is the stuff that you just described, the stuff in the blah, blah text. We're like, oh, where's the place that I go? You know, a great example is accessibility. Accessibility versus privacy, you know, there's like kind of an overlap between accessibility. Like there's some things that apps can't do without enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unclear, at least to me sometimes, whether that logically would be under accessibility or privacy. And you're like, oh, I know the blah, blah text, for example, says something like, you know, click this to turn off, you know, high contrast outlining. What if I search for outlining? But you can't. Or contrast, C-O-N-T. I
mean, they've improved, they have, to their credit, they have improved the search over the years of system settings or the however long it's been since system settings, but still, like, it has a long way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to get back on the marker train. We got one final item of follow-up here about
this. Yeah, this is a good one.
This is from Craig. And he says, one of the comments on the Kotke post led me to this Metafilter comment, which I found helpful regarding food reuse in marking. And we'll put a link to this Metafilter thread in the notes. Craig says, oh, this is what Craig copy and pasted this from the comment. Your memory gets trained so that, yes, you mark plates as a memory aid, but you also just remember the general shape of the order. This is what I was talking about, like in remembering time shapes. If the mark plates get jostled, most of the time you remember that the eggs were supposed to be over medium or that it was a sausage omelet and not well over eggs. And if all that fails, usually you have four or fewer servers and they're almost always within 10 feet of you. You can ask, Kelly, did you have the pork chops and eggs with sliced tomatoes? Can I get a quick recall? I can't really speak for now, but 25 years ago, at least, and this is 25 years ago, the market system has been around at least that long. Mm-hmm. All the condiments were washed before they were put onto the cold table trays.
What?
And much of the time, those packets go out with the eggs they were marked.
Remember my question? Is that your pack?
Apparently. Mayo and mustard packets less so, but again, they'd been washed. Raw ingredients used to mark were not back then supposed to stay on the plate. They were brushed into the trash before the food was plated.
This is your question. That's answering your question about what happens to the little grab of potato.
Food. You aren't wrong that it's a cross-contamination nightmare. It's simply impossible to do a clean kitchen protocols for allergies, which is why I, with my pesky onion allergy, don't eat there anymore.
Oh my God. Thank you to listener Craig. That is a tremendous thing you found.
Yeah. So this is a firsthand account from 25 years ago. Food goes into the trash. The things are, I feel like at the point you're washing jelly packets, you really, really start questioning the Army way. You know what I mean? Like you're washing jelly packets. You're like, is this is it? 25 years at least. This is what we're doing. We're washing the ketchup containers, the ketchup packets, and the jelly pack. We're washing them so we can use.
Now, on the one hand, there's the thing Roderick's claimed to, like as a little kid, he always heard the truckers pee on soda cans.
Yeah, right.
So he always
just peed on his soda cans. That's the part that he didn't understand.
He left that part out. Yeah. But you know, you get that way about things. I've known people who are like that. Like, were you when your family? Did you like thoroughly clean the top of a can before you opened it?
Yeah, it's really the because
like but like that's a thing some people do. God, I have a mouse right now. It's killing me. But you when you open you get the dirt, the dust, all the urine from the lid will get in there,
exactly.
All that kind of stuff. But it's. If you're going to crack this door just a little bit, I'm just going to peek my nose through just a little bit. Remember the thing we said? I think we both said about like, why don't you just use like Monopoly houses?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know this is not the Waffle House. Like
tiny things made of silver that will like kill germs on contact. Colloidal silver, right with your eggs.
What's the marker for that? It's got to be, it's a blueberry. It's a pinch of blueberry.
Less ridiculously, something you can run through the dishwasher?
Yeah, no. I mean, like, the thing is, this thing entirely falls apart as soon as you do anything to change it. But because my first thought was, why don't you just use the equivalent of Monopoly houses and hotels? But like,
but even that, we were saying that because we were still trapped in the video, right? But why does anything need to go on the plates?
No,
why does anything need to go on the plates, Merlin?
There's no reason for it to be on the plate. It's conceptually so dumb that it all begins with this slidey plate. But then I found myself thinking about, like, I can on my printer print out with PLU. I can not only print out certain kinds of markers, but they could be designed to fit and stack, or specifically not fit and not stack. What makes a Lego a Lego? It fits with every other Lego, but it only fits with every other Lego in the proper way. That's what makes it a Lego. You can't screw up Legos because of the rigidity of the system. My system would be fascistic. It would have like, fine, you want a jelly pack? Let me make you a printed out rubbery jelly pack if that makes you happy.
No, don't give them the jelly packs. They don't need to put anything on the plate. They can make the little.
No, it's for the transition. There'll be jelly
packs. So look. Let me throw a thing at you. Here's what you can do.
I'm going to print these out.
You know what's in the kitchen? You know what you have a lot of in the kitchen? Well, I guess maybe it's not ferrous, but you've got a lot of metal.
There's a lot. And you know, metal can be cleaned.
If you can get a ferrous metal surface near the cook where you can stick a bunch of magnets that symbolically represent the types of meal and their differences.
Like, okay.
You don't have to wash them. They never come in contact with the plates. There's
cross-contamination. Don't put it in your mouth because you can swallow that. They're magnets. Don't do that. Don't eat them.
I mean, I guess you'd still have to clean those things, but like make them like metal magnets that you can put through the dishwashing machine.
Don't worry, you can clean a magnet. That's not a problem.
But like, just it's a metal thing. They never no customer ever has to find them on their plate, or they will never touch a customer's plate. They will be cleaned each day in the dishwasher.
John, you know another nice thing about magnets is the system I was going to come up with, my rubbery PLU based system, was that some fit, and stack, and others deliberately don't fit and don't stack. Boy, you could really do that with magnets if you think about it. You got north and south, right? There are ways you could put that. Well, I don't know. I mean, magnets.
I mean, and the modern one is, if you don't want to do that thing, like, we do have computers and screens. You could just put a bunch of LCDs up there. People punch in the orders. People look up.
Russia used a pencil. That's what they say.
Yeah, the screen can show little graphics, graphically showing two little fried eggs. Like, literally show the finished plate. Right.
Well, but you ever order a KFC and like, or any of the like one of the ones like that? There's a big screen where it's got the order like kind of written out on it. Does it need to be Idiocracy? Like, does it need to be in hieroglyphic pictograms?
Well, that's all I was saying. I don't want people to have to read. I want to be able to glance. I want to be able to glance and see a plate with two fried eggs on it and bacon. Like, you'll memorize the graphics. There'll be little like iconographic things.
People can change. Yeah, you know, in London, if you want to become a cabbier, you got to do this thing. You have to learn what's called the knowledge, and you have to learn every city. There's a lot of interesting stuff about this. No, seriously, I think now it's not really quite as much of a draw as it used to be. But you got to learn all of that.
Has someone done a documentary about this? Is this why you know this? I think someone should do a documentary about it because I've only heard about it from you.
I've seen like episodes of documentary type shows about it, and I've seen it as a plot point in TV shows.
Because surely this is one of those things that's got to be like departing as GPS.
That's
comes
exactly
to dominate.
Well, and Lyft or similar, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, London cabs are really nice. They're big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I printed them out, I'd want to make. I wonder if I could do it. I could start at a different scale. I could do like an H.O. Waffle House. Hi. Hi. I'm H.O. Waffle House. Have you ever worn Waffle House food but smaller?
They should be, what is it, chibi, the anime thing where everything's,
yeah, the cute,
has,
everything's
like,
cute. Or
like, toddler proportions. Yeah, exactly. The eggs are cute.
Well, this is professional, so let's keep it straight. But like, so I would make, let's say the prototype I start. I think I need to start by trying to get. And I don't know if it's HO or H, but I'm going to do a scale, like maybe at least 6-1. 1-6, rather. Oh, boy, can you imagine that? Big Waffle House, they call
like
it.
Big egg to go with big tennis.
Big tennis, I love you. Do you remember that episode when Max first said that,
I
laughed?
Big tennis, yeah.
And then what was funny about it was it's big tennis because you got a big, and the joke was like, oh, and they're in the pocket of big tennis. And then Max says, what if there was a big tennis? And so what we came up with, big balls, big rackets, small court.
And little did you know that eventually we would get small tennis, which is pickleball.
Pickleball's so small. I was watching A Righteous Gemstones last night where that involves pickleball. We were talking about, so anyway, I'll work on that. I think for the prototyping, I should start with a nice white regular plate. I should be able to at least do, definitely need a grape packet. I feel like a mayonnaise packet. You know, this is kind of like when you first start collecting Star Wars figures. And you're like, well, of course I've got to have Han Solo, but I kind of really want Greedo. And like right now for me, that's going to be like the brown sugar packet. I don't really need it that often, but you know, customer tell us, you know, sometimes they don't want their grits in a bowl.
Yeah. So do you remember how adamant the video was that this is the one and only system for
the one and only system and that it is like the complete system?
Yeah. I feel like you coming up with this thing like I've printed a new system or my magnet idea is like proposing changes to the Torah. It's like, we'll take your changes under advisement.
Remember when there's a second pope? There was a pope at Avignon. Yeah,
exactly right. Like I have a lot of ideas for things that can be different. Have you reconsidered the dietary restrictions? Because, you know, shrimp is really good.
Wait a minute. Yeah, instead of nailing my theses to the door, I've got rubber jelly packets that I stack on the door.
But, well, that's why I picked Judaism, because I feel like it's less, it's historically been less susceptible to
they don't have to represent theses. Shrimp.
Yeah. Easy. I've got some new ideas.
Hey, new ideas? Huh? Yeah, you're right. You're right. It would be heretical. It would be beyond Martin Luther. I mean,
you wouldn't find a lot of sympathetic ears to your like, oh, so you have a better plan, do you?
Do you think it's like the Jesuits? Do you think they'd really try and go after us?
Yeah, I'll ask God about it. See what he says.
Yeah. Hey, I talked to God. He's not happy at all about the change. He don't like a jelly packet like that. He's no happy about that. You know, God said to me, "Say, you know, a lot of our customers, I love a cheese and an egg." Oh,
says to me, "Rabbi, is it right to put a jelly packet on a plate?"
Okay, Chrysler's a very reliable automobile.
It was the alternate ending to A Serious Man involved jelly packets.